You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Good morning. Welcome to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Buck, and Calvin Mutinoff coming to you live from our home here at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us. Call or text at 855-752-4842. You can also leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. We are delighted to be joined by the fabulous farm babe from the Midwest Farm Report. Pam Yonke is here. It's been too long, my friend. How are you?
Oh, I'm well. I'm back after quite a little experience last week with World Dairy Expo. So You're catching me on a good day. I finally have got a little energy back. So
we're going to talk about that in just a little bit. We want to talk about the World Dairy Expo that was going on. That's a big event. And we'll get to that in a little bit. But there's so many other things to talk about, Pam, especially with regards to farmers and tariffs, and In particular, Wisconsin soybean growers. So I'm curious what you are hearing from folks when you're on the ground.
Well, for those of you that are watching on the stream, you may see me paging. I'm kind of watching headlines right now because we're expecting today more details on the federal aid that's designed to go directly to farmers that are being hit by the lower soybean prices. Now, there's a ripple effect all the way around on this. I don't want you to think that this is just for soybean growers. We understand that there may also be some other grains that are incorporated in some of this federal aid. That's why I'm kind of antsy about the details.
Sure.
But basically what this is designed to do is China has been missing in action as far as purchasing U.S. soybeans. They are purchasing incredible amounts of soybeans from Brazil and Argentina and other areas. Some of our U.S. soybeans might be, as they say, backdooring it, coming around from other vendors into China. But as far as direct sales, we've had zero. That's a major hit. And it's a statement, obviously. And so as farmers go into the harvest, the option of what's out there as far as price isn't very good. This morning, I was talking with a commodity broker, and he said for farms that are in the upper Midwest, so that'd be Minnesota, North Dakota, even South Dakota, all the way across, anybody that's growing soybeans, most of those soybeans would normally go to the Pacific Northwest, out by Seattle to go out ocean bearing to China. Well, they don't have them. They don't need them over there. So it's not only disrupting, and the farmers there are being, I'll call it dinged, because normally they would get a premium if they can get those beans going to the international market. It's a straight shot. You don't have to worry about a lot of congestion as far as the rail lines, so they can get her moving. That brings them a premium because of location, speed of harvest, that type of thing. That's all gone. So those marketing options that farmers normally had are all gone. So the money will likely go from the farmer's mailbox, shall we say, directly to everybody that they owe, because they've got bills that these beans were supposed to take
to
care
pay
of.
For it. Yeah.
So fertilizer bills, seed bills, diesel, anything like that. So don't think that farmers are going to be driving around in Escalades or anything like that. And my apologies to anybody that's driving an Escalade. I love them too. But you get my point. They are not going to be going on vacations and all this kind of stuff. Most of that money is going directly to pay the debt that crop incurred when they planted it. So like I said, I wish I knew a little bit more as of right now on the details, the amount. The other question I have is, now that the federal government shut down, who is going to get this money to them? USDA's normally would go through the Farm Service Agency office or some of our arteries that way. We're not getting anything from USDA. Today, like an idiot, I walked into the studio looking for my weekly crop progress report. That's generated by USDA.
Yeah.
So it's little things like that that we are still piecing together. So as I said, if you're watching on the stream, that's one of the reasons why I'm scrolling through my phone to see if there's any breaking news or if we're getting any details as of this time.
Well, and Pam, for someone like me who doesn't know that process as far as getting the money, it's not just USDA. If we're talking about money being sent to farmers, what is the entire process? Does it have to go through Congress, be approved, or is it just it's authorized by someone and the USDA issues money and then there you go?
back her up to the first time that the Trump administration was in place. This is exactly the same thing they did at that time.
Okay.
And basically, because farmers are such a documented group of people, I mean, the federal government's got paper on them everywhere because of government programs, checkoff programs, all that kind of stuff. So the footprint is there as far as how. Mm-hmm. We don't know how much, and we don't know when. And again, like I said, if it's going to involve a USDA mechanism to try to deliver that money, even though most of it all goes direct deposit into the farm bank account, like I said, I'm still uncertain of which phalange of the federal government is going to pull the trigger. Yeah. But no, this is exactly the same thing that the Trump administration did the first time he was in office and lost some of our critical markets. Again, open the pocketbook and there she goes.
Well, and going back to the first Trump administration, our farmers never came back entirely from that. As you said, they lost markets that never came back because other countries were like, well, I'm going to find a more stable market where I can rely on things.
Yeah, that's a strong conversation that we're having in agriculture right now. And, you know, there's certain commodities that lend themselves to that kind of thing. For example, at any given time in the world, somebody's growing wheat. Well, you're not really at a competitive advantage if you're growing wheat and you can't market everywhere. Soybeans are getting to be the same way. Right now, South America dominates the world production in soybeans. So as long as China wants to keep going with them, despite their currency uncertainty, transportation issues in country and out, they've got the beans. But I've heard analysts say that China's consumption of soybeans is bigger this year than it was last year. So ultimately, they are going to have to come to the United States or, like I said, backdoor it from the United States somehow. But to your point, Jane, I mentioned it at the outset. The federal monies that are going to be distributed to farmers to offset the soybean losses are to offset debt that they are currently carrying on the soybeans they've got.
That are sitting there. Yeah.
They're not coming ahead.
Right.
There is no profit.
Right.
You are just trying to cover your butt and keep credit coming your way for the growing season of 2026. So yeah, to your point, this isn't a recovery. This is basically making sure that farmers stay viable to get into the next growing season.
It's a band-aid.
Yeah.
It's a band-aid.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. And every farmer knows it.
If you're just joining us, we are speaking to the fabulous Farm Babe, the host of the Midwest Farm Report, Pam Jahnke. She is our guest today on Matt and Aaron Air, and we're talking to her about we talked to her as well as Darren Von Ruden about the farming world, getting updates from the community, and we're talking about the devastation to the soybean market, which has been zeroed out here in the United States due to tariff policies and whatnot. And the question I have for you, Pam, is you talk to farmers way more than I do. And we know, but what I do know is that they don't want handouts. They don't want the government coming in and writing checks all the time. They want partnership. They want leadership. But how do they feel about another bailout?
Yeah, well, I think what they ultimately are hoping is this is just one example of what will turn out to be a better outcome. You know, remember, farmers are like all of us. They are not, and this is a poor pun, they're not siloed. So it is not the only thing they think about. Mm-hmm. They think about immigration. They think about the possibilities down the road. If I have to suffer pain now, but it's going to bring change or dividends or better markets or more operations that I can work with, they will take that pain. Don't get me wrong. Yeah. They don't want to check, but they are ready to take the pain if in the end it helps the United States get into a better place with Canada, with the European Union. I mean, I know we're focusing on China, and rightly so. But if you talk to farmers, they'll say, hey, cheese exports are up over 30%. That's going into the world marketplace. Mm-hmm. There have been some agreements. We've got a lot of product now that's going into Southeast Asia. I never imagined. But as people's income grow, they have more interest in dairy products, for example. So granted, soybeans is a major, major commodity for the United States, for mm-hmm. Wisconsin farmers. But when you talk to farmers on an individual basis, they are wise to the whole makeup of the pie.
Yeah.
They don't focus on just one thing, especially in Wisconsin. Now, that's Wisconsin. You get to other states where they are much more, I want a culture, but corn, beans, pigs. That's mm-hmm. Iowa. Corn,
yeah.
Then, obviously, they get a little more excited. In Wisconsin, we've got such diversity.
Sure.
We see things a little differently. But like I said, they still would prefer to be a competitor in the open marketplace and go for it than have to stand by and see if this is going to take care of just the soybean bill. Now, that's just soybean. We're not talking about corn yet. We don't know if that's included. We're not talking about wheat. In Wisconsin, we've got dairy cows. There's nothing about, you know, how are you going to feed your dairy cows, that kind of stuff. So it's a process. We've seen it before. We'll see how this one goes, if it's got any tweaks. But as I said, as of right now, we're just lacking a lot of details.
I'm curious, though, Pam, and then we got to go to a break. But I saw a soybean farmer on Newsmax yesterday, and he essentially said, we are being tariffed, so if I want to buy a part for my tractor, I pay more in order to get that part because of these tariffs. And now the president is going to give me back my money that I paid in tariffs. Is there any resentment that you're hearing among farmers about that?
No.
No.
Not. No. And I'd be curious to know where that guy was. I mean, geography matters in agriculture. It really does. And I understand. And it also matters what kind of equipment you're running. If you're running John Deere, that's still primarily sourced in the United States as far as, you know, the parts and that type of thing. If you've got something that comes from the European Union, that may be something that comes from Canada. That may be a brand that is a victim. But you know, the bottom line is the tariff money is supposedly some great savings pot somewhere being held by the federal government, and a dipper of that is coming back to U.S. farmers in the form of these discussed funds that are going to be targeted specifically to soybeans. So I get his point.
But at the same time, you said that dairy is doing well.
Yeah, dairy is doing very well. I mean, like almost, you know, it makes you kind of wonder when you can see cheese exports go up over 30%. And now remember, Wisconsin has got a huge, huge corner on that market because of specialty cheeses. Even with tariffs, you cannot find the flavors of cheeses produced in Wisconsin anywhere else in the world. You cannot find cranberries produced in Wisconsin anywhere else in the world. You just have to understand. So if you want them, you got to step
up.
Yep. Yeah. The relationships have been there. We talked about that a lot at World Dairy Expo. But like I said, farmers understand and we'll really understand it. I just wrote a check for my fertilizer bill for next year and about had to have a bottle next to me so that I could get through it, because that is insane. The fertilizer bill on my small farm in O'Connell County, it was up 30% compared to last year.
Jeez.
And that's not only global demand on fertilizer, but it's also, we're going to dig you while we can. Could be Vladimir, could be, you know, you don't know. But all I know is PMD Farms kicked in extra 30% just to make sure that my crops will have something to grow with next year.
Wow. We're going to continue our conversation. She is the fabulous farm babe from the Midwest Farm Report. Pam Jahnke is our guest and we'll continue on the other side. Stay close. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network and we'll be right back.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Calvitini on the board, coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. Join us, call or text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching in the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Coming up in about a half an hour, we will wrap up the show, as we always do, with a segment called This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Today is the hot and spicy edition, so stay tuned for that. Right now, though, we're joined by the fabulous farm babe with the Midwest Farm Report. Pam Jahnke is here. We're talking all things farming. We wanted to talk a little bit, Pam, about, and we've talked about this before with you, about mental health on the farm and whether or not our farmers are getting enough help, whether or not they are seeking help. Can you give us a little update on where we are on that?
Well, we're focused in the Midwest Farm Report, along with Rural Mutual Insurance this week, is trying to really bring visibility to the resources that are available to farms and farm families. This is a difficult time, always is. I mean, harvest is busy, busy. You're dependent on the weather, which has been very favorable for Wisconsin farmers this year.
So far.
But you do get tired. You know, that stretch last week, they estimated that we probably had somewhere in the neighborhood of 55,000 people at World Dairy Expo. Probably could have had about another 10 or so if the weather wouldn't have been so good. But Wisconsin farmers stayed home to keep harvesting because in Wisconsin, you don't look a gift horse in the mouth.
Yeah.
You keep on rolling. But when you start doing long hours, long hours, long hours, part of the reason we talk about it is safety. You're not as sharp. You miss that step. Just simple things that can be life-altering when you're working around big equipment on a farm. So we think safety. But then there's also the questions that we were talking about before the break. Holy man, this crop of soybeans that I thought was going to bring profit is now barely break even, if that. You worry about that kind of thing. You worry about milk production is up quite substantially. That means milk prices are starting to slip.
Are down.
You worry about that kind of thing. So there's never a lack of things to preoccupy farmers when it comes to worry. But we do point out that they're getting better about using resources. I've talked to Jess Beauchamp. She is with the Wisconsin Farmer Wellness Program. It's 24/7. Farmers are becoming more comfortable calling her and saying, you know, here's what's going on, or just a little something. She can give them a voucher. And she said the percentage of vouchers that are now being used has gone up.
That's great.
Which is good stuff.
That's
a really good time.
Yes.
Because, you know, I'll tell you, and honestly, I don't think we have to segment out farmers. Farmers are like all the rest of us. It's not just about the commodities and the weather. It's also about maybe somebody in the family's got a drug problem or an alcohol problem, or there's an abuse problem going on, or just family dynamics. Listen, we all know that is not easy to talk about. Mm-hmm. Farmers are always about rub a little dirt on it and keep on going. It'll fix itself.
Right.
It'll be fine.
Right.
And we know that's not the case. So again, call volumes remain pretty steady at the Wisconsin Farm Center housed within the Department of Ag, Trade, and Consumer Protection. They've got the Farmer Wellness Program that's 24/7. So if Jess isn't answering the phone, there is another counselor that will answer the phone to make sure you're getting hooked together. Jess also told me that more and more, and I think we learned this, farmers sure learned it during the pandemic, they are creating virtual forums where they can come together, just like we're doing on the Civic
sure.
Media stream, mm-hmm. and talk about what's going on in their lives. And you can remain anonymous, you know, shut your camera off if you still want to be involved in the conversation. And you form a little bit of a bond with other people that are struggling with the same kinds of things in the same profession. So are we there yet? Meh, I don't know. Do I feel better that there's a little bit more uptake on the resources that are out there? Yes. Do we have a ways to go? Yes. Like I said, there's a lot of different things that any one family is dealing with. Farmers are no different than that.
Sure.
But I do see, especially the younger farmers, are more likely to engage in the conversation. The older demographic is still
hard.
Put on it and get on it.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm gonna fix it myself, and I don't need any help. And there is no shame in asking for help.
Yeah.
There is no shame. And admitting that you need somebody to talk to. And what you just mentioned with those forums that they're having, that's a huge thing. That's a huge step in the right direction.
I sometimes think that farmers, when I get with my farmer buddies, now granted, I'm an old broad, so they've known me for quite a while, but you know, they never do it. They never think that people care about them. They just don't think people care about them. And you and I see social media posts and all that kind of stuff, and they just are so doggone humble. They do not think people care about them like that. And I'll tell you, I've talked to guys that are very upset with their situation, be it the farm or whatever. And I said, you know what, buddy? You don't realize what you can do. You are a jack of all trades, master of none. You're a mechanic. You're an electrician. You know animal nutrition. You know, I mean, you know budgets. You do accounting. You do bookkeeping. You do all of these things that any one person dedicates their career to. You do it all in a day, and you take it for granted. Do not sell yourself short. Don't knock your value down.
Mm-hmm.
You are incredible. And sometimes, like I said, it's that tree from the forest kind of thing. Sometimes I need to wrap them alongside the head and say, look at how great you are. Look at how fabulous you are, you know?
That's why you're the fabulous, but that's why you're the fabulous farm babe.
And I put a link to that program through the Farm Center in our show notes. So if there's people out there listening who want to seek help, who need a voucher, go there, click that link, civicmedia.us/shows, look for Matt and Air on Air. It's hour two of today. It'll be there for you if you need help.
Beautiful.
Check it out. Take advantage of it. She is with the Midwest Farm Report, the fabulous farm babe, and our friend Pam Yonke. Thank you so very much, Pam. It was great to see you. We will talk to you hopefully soon.
Absolutely.
Take care.
Here. Have a good one.
You too. You too. News coming up next, and then Civic Media's genie of just about everything, Terry Barr, will be here. Stay close. This is Matt and Air on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network. Welcome, welcome to Matt and Air on Air. Jane Matt and Air, Greg Bach, Sweet Calby on the board. Coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. You can join us, call or text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Congratulations to our multi-state text-to-win grand prize winner, Dennis from Minocqua. Listening to WCQM, picked up the grand prize in our Go for the Green and Gold contest. Dave in Kenosha and Ruth from Shatek and Luann in Amory and Angie from Hammond all picked up daily prizes, $200 in cash, gold jewelry. Thanks to everyone who participated. It was so much fun. And we will do another Text to Win contest. Make sure you download the Civic Media app.
Mm-hmm.
That is the only way to play. She is now joining us once a month, our friend and colleague. We call her the genie of just about everything at Civic Media. Award-winning journalist Terry Barr is here. Good morning, Terry.
Oh, good morning to you and the listeners on the stream, wherever you may be listening. And congrats. Do you know how the text to win went? Did you guys win this time?
We did not.
Oh.
Do you know who won? Because he had the word twice. Tom Hartman.
Oh, no kidding.
Tom Hartman won.
Rigged.
What?
The whole thing was rigged.
Tom Hartman won.
Oh, my gosh.
And it's funny, Terry, because I was on with Todd yesterday. I was on Todd's show yesterday at
2:30. Yeah, you have the Mondays
and,
now.
He brought that up. And at the very beginning of the contest, I texted him and I said, I'm going to contest the results because Tom Hartman gets two words and we only get one.
That's not fair.
I just think, you know.
Yeah. I was cheering for you and Greg and for Todd because it's always so fun to listen to the two of you and find out, you know, who's going to win.
Next time around, we're just not going to count Tom Hartman.
Oh, wow, you're really going to like a Trumpian way here. Well, like if we don't count Tom Hartman, it didn't happen.
Then we won.
Yeah.
We're following a good example.
Following
the prime example of how to make sure you win.
I didn't mean to come on and cause trouble.
Oh, really, Terry? You didn't? You didn't know you're going to kick this hornet's nest? Cool.
You were at the Brewers game.
I was. I'm surprised I have a voice today. Here's our, you know, we get the towels
towel.
To yell and scream. And, oh, you guys, I just love the Brewers so much. Since I was little, yeah. Thank you to my dad, and this is quite a ride right now.
Was the atmosphere like at AmFam Field last night?
You could not hear anything. I don't think Milwaukee fans stopped cheering from before the team was even introduced. It was so crazy. I've never heard it that loud in there unless you've been there for a concert.
One of the things that people were talking about was the fear of the invasion of the suburban Chicagoites, North Siders, mm-hmm. whatever you want to call them, Cubs fans. But
yeah,
it felt like
what
it,
fans,
at
yes.
least from the highlight reel I watched from yesterday, it felt like the Brewers had a very deep representation in the stadium. And there were Cubs fans there, of course, but it certainly wasn't a thing where you know, the Brewers were present. That's what it sounded like.
Absolutely. And I think even more so since Saturday, the Cubs fans were pretty loud Saturday, but they were quieted quickly when the Brewers won, basically right from the beginning. But last night was a little different because they started strong.
Yeah.
And the Brewers had to claw back to get that win. But we noticed even just walking around, not as big
of a representation from Cubs fans. Yeah. So I do see now they are putting out a similar tweet. Don't sell your tickets.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Don't sell your Wrigley tickets.
Of course, that was the thing earlier in the weekend. Don't sell your tickets to Cubs fans if you're coming to Milwaukee. Yeah.
And oh boy, are they whining this morning? Wine.
Oh my God. Ooh, Twitter.
Wine.
Oh my gosh. Twitter is just
everything's unfair.
Yeah. Yeah. Or the Brewers.
Why are you celebrating that? That wasn't that big of a thing. Me.
Yeah, it's just it's just really whiny, and
it's kind of that's awful.
It's kind of amusing.
Yeah, and the fans that I ran into, and even chatted with here and there, the Cubs fans, they were having a great time.
Good.
Those who were at the game. So then you wonder who's the complainers.
It's the sports writers who were complaining. Yeah. This morning.
Oh yeah. It was really like I saw a lot of people who write for Chicago sports media, and they just will not allow. It's like they don't understand or they can't calculate joy in their operating system. So when people are having fun, they immediately have to go the bitter writers, real 1940s behavior of like, I don't understand why this kid celebrate. Because he's a 23-year-old kid. He's pitching in the major leagues. Of course he's happy.
Of course he's excited.
Oh, he had he played great. Yeah. And if I were him, I would have been celebrating my play too.
Absolutely.
Ignore the haters.
Ignore the
haters.
Yeah. Keep having fun. That's what this team is all about.
Absolutely.
Darn right.
Go Crew tomorrow from Wrigley Field. It's going to be a big game.
Yes, it is.
They could wrap it up tomorrow.
They can wrap it up. In my brain, if they get, let's see here, 3-4. They only need eight or nine victories in a row, and they win everything.
Yeah, that's it.
That's it. That's easy.
There you go.
They can do it.
There you go. All right, Terry, what have you got? What have you got for us today? What's going on in Wisconsin?
It is a new slice of Wisconsin, and I love this. It's perfect timing with the fall leaves, and it's a great chance for everyone to just sort of slow down. Take a drive. You can only go 45 miles an hour on these particular rustic roads.
Ooh,
that
I like
I'm
it.
Talking about. Yeah, rustic roads. Mm-hmm. 50 years old this year with the very first one in Taylor and Price counties. Now, I'm going to ask a few questions.
All right.
Do you know why we have rustic roads?
Because they're cool. Winner. Got it.
I love that. That is a great answer.
I don't think that's the answer.
It pretty much is the answer.
Really?
Way back 50 years ago, they wanted an opportunity for people to just slow down, as we said, to be able to hike on these roads, to take your bicycle, your motorcycle, or if you are in a car, to keep the speed down and look around and enjoy the beauty of Wisconsin. And some of these roads are gravel, dirt, and some are paved. So you're getting a different experience no matter where you travel. Do you know how many rustic roads are designated all across the state?
122.
Ooh.
Just pick that out of the air.
Okay, 126.
Whoa!
Excellent. Jane! 61 counties now have rustic roads, and that's across 760 miles in Wisconsin. I just think this is so great when you find out these are like hidden gems,
They are.
Where you can go, and what a great time to go. And then to think these are going to be, celebrating 50 years starting this month. And I did look up, Racine County has 6 rustic roads designations. Okay. Waukesha County has 3.
Okay.
And then Washington and Ozaukee County together has 3 that kind of cross the borders. There are maps. They're really fun, too. Very interactive. You can zoom on in to see what you would be seeing. Yeah. And that's all at the WisconsinDOT.gov website. And then just look under rustic roads. I think this is so great. And, you know, another thing is the sign is very open when you first hit that rustic road. It's a big brown sign with gold lettering that says, "Welcome to this rustic road." So I just want to encourage everybody, what a great time of year to get out there and enjoy the state. And again, to slow down.
Yes.
Everybody keeps saying, you know, touch the grass. Yes. Well, maybe touch the leaves or just get outside for a minute and just have a clearing of the mind.
Absolutely.
You absolutely need that.
And I do think that motorcycle riders have probably been hip to this for much longer, these rustic drives and these scenic drives, than a lot of us are. But I know, you know, motorcycle clubs do big rides in areas like that. And it's very much about looking around you and seeing what's there. And now the trees, a friend and I were just in Prairie du Chien over the weekend. They're starting to turn in that corner of the state. But I would think over the next two and a half, 3 weeks, the colors are going to be unbelievable.
And officials say if you happen to travel somewhere that is not considered a rustic road or doesn't have the designation, it's how they find out about it, through you.
So
you can be part of this. Isn't that fun?
That's you can wonderful. Help designate your own rustic road.
Yeah, there are applications on the Department of Transportation website. Pretty simple to fill out. And then they go take a look at it, take photos, and let you know if your designation is a yes or no.
Look at that.
I want that job. That'd be a great job.
I know. Wouldn't that be fun?
I'll go look. Yeah. Go for a drive.
There you go.
Sure. Why not?
I love that idea. I think you'd have a good time.
Terry Barr is our guest. She is an award-winning journalist, and we also call her the genie of just about everything at Civic Media. You are involved in so much stuff, and you do a lot of writing. You've done a lot of writing for our show, Terry.
I have.
Yeah.
And any chance I get, you always have wonderful guests, important topics. And I think those conversations are important to get out to people that maybe didn't get a chance to hear it or prefer to read it as a website article. But we always include either the video or the sound from your show. So, you know, anybody who is interested in anything that is on your show, multiple ways to be able to catch up on your topics. And I love that.
You're part of the Civic Media Today now, aren't you? The putting together of our daily newsletter?
I do a little piece because I write about all the different shows. Those pieces go into Civic Media Today. But we also just re-kicked off the overall Civic Media Digest that started when Civic Media began. And we've had a couple changes along the way. And I was handed this 2 weeks ago. And so I'm writing this now once a week.
Because you know you have so much free time.
So
you're
much
just,
time.
Just laying around doing. Terry, the genie of just about doing nothing.
She's the genie of bonbons.
There
yeah,
you go.
She's just bonbon girl. Just,
thank you.
Oh, darn it. That insult didn't work.
No, there are so.
I don't take that as an insult.
There are so many resources that we would really love you to avail yourself of that Civic Media offers, including the Daily Digest, including Civic Media Today. Mm-hmm. And if you want to find out more about those, you can go to our website. It's the best place to go. CivicMedia.us. Terry Barr joins. You're going to hear her all over the place, all over the network. I know you joined Pete Schwabba, and you talk about music. And this is why she is the genie of just about everything.
There you go.
Oh, you guys are the best.
Terry Barr, thank you so very much. We will see you in a couple weeks.
Thank you.
Stay close. When we return, we're going to wrap it up with This Shouldn't Be a Thing, the hot and spicy edition. This is Matt Mayer on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matt Mayer on Air. Jane Matt Mayer, Greg Bach. Our resident young person, Calvin, on the board, coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. You can join us, call or text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and, what used to be Twitter. Coming up on the show tomorrow, author, New York Times bestselling author, Andra Watkins, is going to be joining us. We have Andra started early on with a Substack about Project 2025. Before this was even mainstream in the news.
Yeah.
She had been covering this. She was raised in a white Christian nationalist household, and now there are a number of members of that group within the Trump administration, and you can see it by some of the things that they're enacting through Project 2025, which yes. was always the playbook for a second Trump administration.
The author works for him.
Yes, the author, Russ Vogt, is the head of the Office of Management and Budget.
Yep.
So Andra Watkins will be joining us in hour number one. And in the second hour tomorrow, Darren Von Rudin, the Wisconsin Farmers Association president, is going to join us. He, of course, is a dairy farmer. But we're going to be talking about what's going on with tariffs and all that stuff. I'm sure he's hearing many, many different things.
Yeah, absolutely. And we thank Pam Yonke for coming on today, giving her viewpoint on what's going on in the farming community as well.
Absolutely.
Because we, as she said, they have value and we need to know what's going on and we need to know what they're going through so we can, I can't help, I don't have money, I can at least help advocate on their behalf if
absolutely.
That's possible.
And as we were talking with Pam too, just about mental health and everything, and this goes for all of us, there's no shame in asking for help.
Correct.
Please don't think there's no help. You are not alone. There's help out there.
Yes.
It is, Calvin, 10:55, approaching 10:55. That means it is time for...
This shouldn't be a thing.
If you ever find a thing you think should not be, send it in to Greg and me at janesays@civicmedia.us. J-A-N-E-S-A-Y-S. janesays@civicmedia.us. This from CTV News in Canada.
Eh?
Melanie Kentner has the byline. The headline reads, Salsa Heist, $35,000 worth of dips stolen in Essex County, Ontario.
This is a hot story, let me tell you.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Ontario Provincial Police say $35,000 worth of salsa and chips were stolen during the theft of two tractor trailers. One, a 53-foot-long enclosed trailer, stolen at the end of September. It was loaded with cases of salsa and dip worth approximately $35,000. The truck was later returned to the location, damaged and without the trailer, but they brought the truck back.
Yeah, the truck doesn't belong to me, so that's not what's
Canadian. I wouldn't steal
like
that.
I mean, yeah. Well, I mean, Jane, okay, times are tough. Costs are going up. Some Mexican restaurants don't just give you chips and salsa for free anymore. And if you have to find your way of getting one of your favorite things to do, which is taking your number three thing to get your number one thing to your face, then that's what you do. I'm sorry, I'm not trying to justify crime here, but times are tough. We do what we can.
The transport truck that was stolen, actually 2 days later, there was a second transport truck without a trailer that was stolen from the same area. It was later seen towing what investigators believe was the truck, the trailer that was stolen earlier with the chips and salsa.
It's a salsa wave.
It's
a crime salsa wave.
The stolen trailer and the cargo remain outstanding. No one knows where the trailer went. Investigators believe a Jeep Rubicon was seen in the area and may have been involved. So if you live in Essex County, Ontario, the local police asking anyone who might have information to contact them. You can stay anonymous.
You know, if you notice at parties, one of your friends or family is gifting everybody chips and salsa.
Big, like, jugs.
Yeah. Huge salsa flag there.
Yeah.
Call the provincial police.
Yes.
And, I mean, just, I know you don't want to snitch on a friend, but this is important. Be a part of the solution.
Be part of the solution.
Yeah, there you
exactly.
go.
Exactly. That wraps up today's episode of
This Shouldn't Be a Thing.
Thank you, Greg and Calvin and all of our engineers and everyone at Civic Media. Without you, nothing works. And thank you most of all for calling and for texting and for listening and watching on the live stream. It means the world. I hope you find some joy today, even if it's just a little bit. And you have the chance to share it. We have news coming up next, followed by The winner of the text and win contest, Tom Hartman.
Oh my God, let it go.
Tom Hartman coming up next from 11 until 2. Todd Alba will take over from 2 to 4 p.m. Maggie Dawn from 4 to 6. She's got her great segment called What's on Your Mind?
Sound off
with Maggie Dawn today in the 5 o'clock hour. And then Pete Schwabe wrapping it all up from 6 to 8 p.m. with a little night light. So stay tuned for that.
And I know there's no game until tomorrow, but still, go crew.
Go crew. And if you're going to be riding the train tomorrow, please take pictures.
Yeah, let us know. We'd love to.
And send them in. We would love to post them. You can always do that at 855-752-4842. All right, we got news coming up next. So keep it right here on the Civic Media Radio Network, and we will see you tomorrow.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.